We'll go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 8, page 865 in the hardback black Bibles is what we're looking for. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 21. This is a passage that builds up to Jesus inviting us into his new kind of family. It's him announcing that he's founding a new kind of family. It's also a passage that just continues straight from the week before, from the first part of chapter 8. So let me set the scene here. Jesus has been traveling around with his friends and followers from village to village, town to town, and everywhere he goes, crowds gather around him. Everybody wants a piece of Jesus' attention. And this part happens toward the end of a day. Jesus has been out with the crowds all day long, and then he retreats into a home with his friends. And even though the crowd is still right outside, in the front yard, in the street, in the driveway, trying to get Jesus' attention, Jesus' whole attention is going to his disciples, is going to his friends. There's a sweetness and an intimacy and a blessing of having someone who's clearly so wanted, so important, so in demand, give you their entire attention. But it seems like in the middle of our text, that's going to break, because Jesus' family, his mother and his brothers and sisters, they appear and they also want Jesus' attention. And so his friends, his disciples, they expect, okay, that's the end of that. Our turn's over. Jesus is going to prioritize his family. But Jesus does something unexpected. Something downright scandalous. Listen to verses 16 to 21. This is Jesus speaking at the beginning. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then Jesus' mother and his brothers and sisters came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And Jesus was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But Jesus answered them, "My mother and my brothers and sisters are those who hear the word of God and do it." Jesus here is not rejecting families as foundational. He is reimagining the foundation of a family to be not what we usually take it to be. It's not a family based on ancestry or a common heritage or economic codependence, all of which were and are factors in holding families together. It's a family based entirely on hearing the word of God and doing it. Jesus is keeping family as your highest priority relationships. He is affirming that. He's just saying family's not going to be based on genetics anymore. It's going to be based on hearing and doing the word of God. He's saying to those disciples gathered in that room with him, he's saying to you and me, when you hear the word of God and do it, you become a part of my family, one of my brothers and sisters, one of my highest priority relationships. When you hear the word of God and do it, my commitment to you is absolute and unending. This is the new kind of family that Jesus is founding. One based on hearing the word of God and doing it, which means that we got to pay a lot of attention, right, kids, to what does it mean to hear the word of God and do it. We started to cover this last week, so I'm not going to go build it all the way up from scratch. The phrase Jesus uses for the word of God here doesn't mean everything that God says. It means his core logic. The word that we translate word is logos, like logic. The essence of God's character. What makes God's heart tick. When you hear that and do it, you are a part of God's family. And the word of God, the essence of God's character, God's heart, is grace. The word of God, the logic of his character, is grace, is unearned, life-giving love. Grace means unearned, life-giving love. This dynamic, this grace, it's woven into creation itself. Everything on earth is alive because of sunlight, yes? And nothing on earth has ever earned sunlight. You could never say, like, I have acted in a way that caused the sun to owe me light. And nothing on earth can live apart from receiving sunlight. Sunlight is unearned and life-giving. And it is not love, but like unto love. The sun actually gives of itself, we now understand, this is how the physics works. The sun burns up its own material in giving us light. It is self-giving. The logos of the sun is to create light. And because of that, we live. The logos of God is to love. And because of that, we live. We've never done anything to earn it or deserve it. We've done, we'll get to this a little bit later, plenty to unearn it and undeserve it. And yet, because it is God's logos to love, he loves us. And we receive life. Jesus, he is offering us this grace. And if we receive it, he makes us a part of his family. Not on the basis of our ancestry, not on the basis of being one of the children of Abraham, not on the basis of our shared history, on the basis of how many years we've been a member of a church, not on the basis of what we can contribute to the well-being of the family, of how much we volunteer in the nursery or help set up for lunches or preach the word, purely on the basis of grace, of the unearned, life-giving love of God. This is what you need to hear. The sun does not give light because the earth deserves it. The sun gives light because shining is its logos. And so on everything on earth lives. God does not love you because you are worthy of love. God loves you because love is his logos. And so in his love, you live. He does not give you grace because you have earned it. He gives you grace because it is his logos to be gracious. And so we live, we are saved by his grace. This is the difference between building your family house on the sand of what you and the people close to you can earn and deserve. Difference between that and building your house on the rock of God's love. It's the difference between trying to get across the sea of life by rowing together in sync, where every bit of progress is driven entirely by our effort. It's the difference between that and crossing the sea of life in a sailboat, receiving and sharing in the blessings from heaven, of the wind, of the grace, of the unearned, life-giving love of God. This is the word of God. And to hear it in the way that matters, means to do it. These are my mother and my brothers and sisters, those who hear the word of God and do it. Who hear of the grace of the unearned, life-giving love that flows from God through Jesus to us, and then do that grace. What does it mean to do grace? In one sense, the entire Bible is an answer to that question, and there are many, many aspects to doing grace. There's forgiving enemies and welcoming strangers and being generous ourselves and leaving behind our cultural and psychological comfort zones for the sake of loving others. All of that is doing grace. None of that is what's in view right here in this text. Right here, Jesus says that doing grace is being open about our ongoing need for grace. To hear the word of God, the grace that God is offering, and do it, and live by it, is to be continuously open about our need for grace. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. We're moving quickly today. I'm not going to build this up for you from scratch. The light there is our need met by God's grace. Our not earning love and our being loved by Jesus anyway. That's the light that Jesus is speaking of. And he says, if you hear God's word, if you hear the grace that God is offering, then that light is lit within you. And then you have a decision to make. Are you going to cover it up? Are you going to hide it away where no one else looks under the bed? Or are you going to put it on a stand and let everyone see it? To do grace, to live by the unearned, life-giving love of God, means to be open about how much we need God's love so that others can see how much God loves us. This is an ongoing, continuous activity, not a once-in-the-past activity. Jesus does not say, those who heard the word of God and did it that one time, but those who hear it and do it. Present tense, in the language Jesus is speaking, this verb tense carries the force of like, and it just keeps happening. Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, doing and doing and doing and doing. Right? The picture of a lamp reinforces this, right? A lamp is not everlasting light. A lamp has to be refilled and relit at the end of every day to provide more light. This is us day in and day out saying, here's today's story of how I need grace and receive it through Jesus. So this is like the story about how angry I got when Brennan smashed my Lego castle, right? It's pertinent. But if I tell you that story as if like, hey, when I was 7, I needed grace and I got it from Jesus, I'm missing the point here. What we're being invited into, this ongoing openness about our need of grace, is like the last 24 hours. Right? So 22 hours ago, I was finishing up 2 lunches worth of lunch, which is not uncommon for me. And I resolved, having lost self-control and been gluttonous at lunchtime, that I was like, that's fine. Like, I already ate my dinner. I'm just not going to eat. Right? I've had plenty. Right? This plan worked beautifully until 19 hours ago, when I went to Walmart to pick up some of our prescriptions and remembered that Walmart sells these little bags of pretzel rolls. They're so good. I said little bag. I'm still trying to hide my lamp in her basket. Like, there's four sandwich-sized pretzel rolls in the bag, right? And this is great because the pretzel rolls are there, and I'm the only person who knows me who's there. And I walked to Walmart, and it's a 15-minute walk back home, which is plenty of time for me to eat all of the pretzel rolls and dispose of the bag in the trash can on the other side of the garden as I'm walking down Cleveland Avenue, and nobody needs to know. It can all stay under the bed, which I proceeded to do. And then re-resolve, okay, now I've had like three lunches worth of lunch. I'm all done for today. And that held true until 16 hours ago when I started making dinner and thought, well, there's four pieces of salmon and there's four people who need dinner, so I'll just make myself a plate. And then 14 hours ago when I had two spoonfuls of cookie dough. Now, we might say in response to that story, that, like, none of this is a big deal. Right? Like, everybody loses control of their appetites. You don't really have anything to worry about, Zach. That's not what Jesus would say. Jesus would say, what I did was sin. It was wasteful and self-destructive. Those actions were not worthy of love, Zach. And I love you. My love for you was never going to be earned by your self-control on the bread aisle at Walmart. I love you because I am loving, not because what you do and not do is worthy of love. That is one lamp of needing and receiving grace. One evening's worth of the light of God's love. To hear the word of God, the grace of God, the unearned life-giving love of God, and do it is to be open about our continuous, ongoing need for grace. When our need and God's grace relight the lamp, not to hide it under a jar and minimize the embarrassment, but put it on a stand and let those around us see. This openness, Jesus goes on to say, is the necessary, inevitable consequence of grace. It is what always happens when we hear the word of God in a way that really matters, in the way that Jesus is talking about. It will lead to us doing this kind of grace. That's why he says in verse 18, take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be given away. Take care that you hear what I am saying in a way that causes you to put the lamp on a stand and not under a jar. Because if you put it under a jar, you're announcing, I don't actually believe I'm here by grace. I believe I'm here by not needing that much grace, by not being that embarrassed, by being maybe not perfect, but pretty okay. There's most of our families, our ordinary human families, require some of that. To stay in the family's good graces, you can't show all your need, all your unworthiness. And so we've learned where to hide the lamps. Jesus' family is not that way. It's not a family based on anything you could earn, anything you could produce, any self-control around pretzel rolls that you could exhibit. It is a family based on his grace. Not on our worthiness of love, but on his love for the unworthy like us. And to the degree we understand that, to the degree we hear that word, we will think, why would I hide anything? What do I have that really needs hiding? And Jesus promises in verse 18, every time you bring the light out onto the stand, more grace, more unearned love will be given to you. But if you refuse to bring the light out, you're saying, I don't actually trust in your grace. I trust in how well I can keep things hidden. Jesus has come to give you grace, to give you a family to be a part of forever, one unlike any family you've been a part of before, a family where you belong because he loves you. Not because you have earned or maintained your place. Hear this word. Hear this word and live by it. This openness, this willingness to put our need for God's grace, our unworthiness and his love for us in our unworthiness, our sinfulness and his mercy out on a stand, this is a lifelong thing, a present continuous process for all of your days. You cannot outgrow your need for grace any more than you can outgrow your need for oxygen, any more than any of the living things on earth can outgrow their need for sunlight. You cannot outgrow your need for God's grace, but neither can you outneed God's supply of grace. If your need, if your unworthiness, your sinfulness is like a bottomless well, and every time you think you've plumbed the depths, you realize that you've just been put in a position to see a little deeper into the ongoing darkness. If your need is a bottomless well, God's grace for you is a bottomless ocean, incomprehensibly larger and more abundant. We sing this all the time, and I want to remind us. So listen to words we have sung together. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole if stretched from sky to sky. Friend, you have far more need of grace, far more than you have ever realized, much less dared to admit out loud. And Jesus has come to bring you into his family by grace, out of his infinite supply. His love is more than sufficient to meet your present and continuous need, to cover every sin you have sinned and could imagine sinning. And to hear that word is to be set free from hiding. To hear that word is to smash the jars and put your need on a stand for others to see. Before we come to the table of God's grace, I want to invite us, having heard the word of God's grace, to practice doing it. This is an invitation, not a command or a coercion. Jesus, anytime someone comes to him and expresses their need, their sinfulness, their weakness, their unworthiness, he responds graciously. But he never goes to people and grabs them and compels them to tell them their need. And we're not going to do that either. So this is voluntary. And our proclamations of need, our confessions of sin, are meant to be personal, not public. This is one lamp's worth of openness to one living room's worth of people. This is not a billboard on I-5 that you reprogram every day with your new need for grace. So I'm going to give us some space to reflect on where we have needed grace in the last few hours or days. And then if you are sitting near someone that you'd be willing to hold that lamp out to, I'm going to give you time to do that, to share with them. If someone is willing to share with you, this is your job. You remind them of grace. You hear what they have to say, and you say, Jesus forgives your sin, and Jesus loves you. That's the whole thing. If someone's willing, if they're not, it's okay. But if they are, Jesus forgives your sin, and Jesus loves you. So let's take a minute of quiet, having heard the word of God, the grace that he offers in Jesus, and reflect on where we have needed grace just recently. And now, if you are willing, you are free to share that need with someone sitting next to you. If someone was willing to share with you and you haven't yet, this is your moment to remind them. Jesus forgives your sin, and Jesus loves you. This table that we're about to come to is another holding of the lamp out. To eat and drink of what's on offer here is